Today on Radio Jackie, I'm joined by Paul Templeman-Wright, and you're taking on the world's biggest swimming fundraising event this year. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, it's the National Swimathon, which supports Cancer Research UK and Marie Curie. It's been actually going since 1988, although my first one was in 1986. That was a London Swimathon sponsored by the LBC Radio. So the actual National Swimathons didn't start until 1988. And for me, it presented an opportunity to raise money for charity as an alternative to doing the London Marathon, because I'd had two knee operations and I thought running a London Marathon, my knees wouldn't be able to sustain the demands. So I saw an opportunity to do my first swimathon in 1988, the national one. And from then on in, it's almost become my annual MOT. And so I've now done 35 consecutive swimathons. This will be my 36th, which means I've done every single swimathon. And for me, it's just a brilliant way to help support worthy charities. It gives me a focus every year in terms of something to aim for. And I'm just delighted that I can still participate. And I'm going to keep going. I mean, the National Swimathon organization celebrated its 30th in 2017 and invited the four swimmers who had done all 30 along to a reception, which was wonderful. And from here on in, I'm just going to keep going. I hope the other three keep going as well. I mean, my initial target is to get to 40. But I mean, a long time ago, I said to my dearly departed wife, I wanted to retire when I had done 50, which would take me to about 77. So it's a wonderful event. It's got more poignancy this year because of the death of my wife.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear about the loss of your wife. She's going to be so proud of you. This is your 36th swimathon, did you say?
My 36th consecutive swimathon, yes. I've done all of them.
That's absolutely incredible. So obviously you're doing it to raise money for charity, but you must enjoy it as well to be doing it for so many years.
I do. I thoroughly enjoy it because swimming is a great outlet for me. It served me well. I like to keep myself very fit. I've encouraged friends, colleagues. I even encouraged my wife to do it on two occasions. So she did it in 1992, the year after we first met, and in 1994. She beat me on both occasions, but it's not a race. I mean, I maintain I'm a self-taught swimmer. My technique's not good. I just have the ability, maybe that's the wrong word, or the courage to actually, and determination to swim slowly a long way. So I find that I can churn out 200 lengths for a national swimathon. But it takes me, you know, I normally start the event and finish last. But the time is irrelevant. It's not a race. It's just a great thing to do. And swimming is sort of, it's kept me relatively injury free. And it's just a wonderful pastime to do. So I would promote swimming to everyone.
Absolutely. And as you said, it's the taking part that counts, isn't it? can you tell us what makes it the world's biggest swimathon event? How far do you have to swim?
The distances have changed because when it first started, there were two events. There was the 2.5K, which is the half distance, which is 100 lengths, and then the full amount, which is the 5,000 metres. But the good thing about it, the event has adapted over the years, and now there are a whole range of distances that people can elect to swim. And the purpose behind that is to encourage as many people as possible to swim, to encourage as many people as possible to take part in the swimathon, and ultimately to encourage as many people as possible to sponsor and support them to raise money for these two worthy charities. I mean, one year I thought I did very well because I finished my 200 lengths and I was having a shower and this other guy got in the shower after me and I thought, oh, I've actually beaten him, until I questioned him and he had done double the distance in the time it had taken me to swim 5,000 metres. So I was suitably humbled. So yes, there's a whole different range of distances, individuals. There's a team event as well, which is wonderful because it's become more inclusive for those people who don't feel up to doing, you know, the long distances that other people can do.
Absolutely. It sounds like anyone can take part. Now, I know that you're dedicating this year's swimathon to your wife, aren't you? And this is your first swimathon without her, isn't it? What has made you want to continue doing this?
Okay, so my wife, who I've known for 31 years, passed away on October the 31st, 2022, with angiosarcoma. She was sort of diagnosed in March 2021. She had a mastectomy and a breast reconstruction in June 2021. And we had regular scans to see if the cancer had sort of come back and everything was clear. And in April, this time last year, we went to France for a 10-day holiday, thinking that all was well. And the scans continued to be clear. And then on Derby Day in June, on June 4th, 2022, she came back from a shopping trip in Reigate, had a hot bath, which is perfectly usual. But then she collapsed after the bath. So we called the paramedics. They were brilliant. They were convinced that it was an abdominal issue. So they had to take her to St. Helier's, who in turn were absolutely wonderful and saved her life because they very quickly identified that her spleen had split. And so they managed to avoid doing a splenectomy, which is to remove the spleen. They plugged the hole in the spleen, which saved her life. But in the scans that they subsequently did, they came back to tell us that the cancer had spread to her bones, her liver, and her lung. Which for us was just devastating, because she was under the care of the Royal Marsden in Chelsea, who are the experts in the field of the angiosarcoma, which is a rare form of breast cancer. She was transferred there, and within a couple of days they did further tests, and then they sat down with us around her bedside and told us that it was incurable, and they said there were two sort of prognoses, one with a life expectancy of 12 to 18 months, and naively both Annie and I thought that that was the worst case, but it wasn't. They said the worst case, that was the best case, the worst case was weeks and months. So that was, you know, you never think you'll be in that situation whereby you'll be told that your wife has got incurable cancer. We kept our two children, Harry and Georgia, fully informed of the terminal diagnosis that she was given. And then Ali embarked on 18 weeks of chemo, 18 weeks of bloods. She took between 85 and 90 tablets a week to give her a quality of life for as long as possible. When she finished the 18 weeks, we were due to have a chemo break, which we did, and we decided to take a short break and go to Parma for a six-day break, which was all approved by the doctors and the medics. When we were in Parma, she continued to manage the pain by using the pain relief she had been given. But the back was getting more and more challenging for her. So towards the end of the holiday, we thought it wise to contact the Princess Alice Hospice, whom we were, Annie was assigned to with a terminal diagnosis, and the Royal Marsden in Chelsea to see if they wanted to review her pain relief. So we got back on the Tuesday, and on the Wednesday she was told to go to the assessment centre in the Royal Marsden in Chelsea. And with the hope that they could sort of give her pain relief and enable her to come home, and then we could start the chemo. But I think it became very clear very quickly that she wasn't strong enough to have chemo because her blood count was very low. They started to have end-of-life discussions with us, as Ali and I, and without the chemo, it became a palliative care issue, and the Royal Marsden at Chelsea were brilliant. And within 12 days of us returning from Parma, she died at the Royal Marsden in Chelsea. The hope was that she would be strong enough to be transferred from the Royal Marsden to the Princess Alice Hospice while the house was being set up, because she had a wish to die at home. But that never happened. So yeah, 12 days after we got back from Parma, she had passed away with her family around her. And, you know, when I think back, you never think this sort of scenario is going to face you. You watch the advert, you see the telly, you see the programs, you read the articles about people who have died from cancer, and you never think it would happen to you. And the ironic thing is that she died in the hospital she worked at, because she was the senior art psychotherapist, working out of Chelsea and Sutton, working with both adults and young children. And so it's quite ironic that, you know, where the place at which she worked, and she had the best job in the world in her opinion, and she loved it, was the place where she finally passed away. So I made a commitment to carry on with the swimathon, but to devote this one to swimming for Ali. There we are.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Am I right in thinking that you're raising money for, is it Royal Marsden, Marie Curie and Cancer Research, the charities that did look after her?
No, I mean, I'm not. I mean, we donated. When Ali had her funeral, we asked people not to buy flowers, but to make donations to the Royal Marsden and Chelsea charity line, which they did, which was absolutely wonderful. This year, it's no different to previous years in terms of the money who I'm raising money for, which is the Right Cancer Research UK and Marie Curie. I've just simply added a bit of extra poignancy to it because I'm swimming for Ali, because every stroke that I take will be in memory of her.
Absolutely. And is that why it's so important for you to continue? Did she do the swimathons with you previously?
She did two, one in 1992, one in 1994. But she was there on most of the occasions, either counting my laps or cheering me on. And she put up with me doing my training, and she put up with me saying that I'm doing my swimathon again this year. And I think, for as long as I can, she will be with me when I do my swimathons, because she loves swimming. I mean, even during her treatment in the middle of August, the doctors were amazed that she was able to do swimming and do between 20 and 30 lengths. So yes, she loved swimming, she was very good at it, and she fully supported me in all the years that I've been doing it. And I owe it to her to carry on raising money for these two worthwhile charities.
Absolutely. Well, well done for continuing. What would you say to people to encourage them to donate money?
Well, I mean, the stats are out there. They say that one in two people will get cancer, not necessarily die from it, but get cancer. And that's one heck of a high percentage of people. And Had someone told me that I'd be in this situation a year ago, I wouldn't have believed them. There was a crying need for the research to continue. And indeed, the Cancer Research UK research that, you know, obviously has been done in the past with the development of drugs and treatment did enable my wife to actually have longer on this earth than might otherwise have been possible. And the reality is that everyone will know someone, I'm convinced, who has had cancer, who has got cancer, indeed, who has sadly died from cancer. And there's a clear and obvious need for as many people to donate as possible, because as the old saying goes, you know, you never know what's around the corner. But we know that, you know, with one in every two people who will get cancer, that fact alone should encourage people to actually donate to these two worthy charities, because it's something that clearly is not going to go away. It's something that we've got to fight. And it's absolutely essential to support the organisations that do the necessary research work. And also, I must say, to support the organisations that offer support to people who are dealing with the terminal illness. And I can't thank Princess Alice Hospice enough for what they did for Alison and I, and what they're continuing to do to support me and my family in getting over this bereavement. It is a reality of life, and you read about it every day.
Every little helps, really, doesn't it? Going back to the swimathon, what does your training look like for something like this?
I'm a man of routine. The training which I started doing, 35 years ago is what I continue doing. I'm sure it will be frowned upon. I simply set myself I swim all year round, but for 3 months of the year leading up to the swimathon, I will simply go into the swimming pool and swim longer distances, which start off, normally I do about 60 lengths every week. It will then increase over 3 months to 80, up to 160. I never swim the full distance. I know I should hone in on my technique, and I have a technique that enables me to do the swim, but I'm sure any professional swimmer or trainer would say, look, Paul, we can improve your time with a better technique. So my swimming training simply involves swimming more and more lengths for longer and longer periods of time. And over the 3 month training that I do, I've worked out that I swim the equivalent of the English Channel in training, which is 23 miles. But I don't think anyone would for one moment suggest that my swimming training, which I adopt, is the right approach. And I do need, you know, I mean, I'm very happy with my swimming, but if I'm to put in a reasonable time, I do need someone to work on my technique. That's not a plug, because I say after every swimathon, I'll try and improve my technique. But, you know, what with when I was working and then looking after my sick wife, that just wasn't possible. So I just swim, in short, I swim longer and longer in the pool to ensure that on the day I can swim for 2.5 hours relatively easily and injury free.
What would you say to someone who's listening to this and they would actually like to have a go at the swimathon, but they're not necessarily a strong or confident swimmer? What would you say to encourage them to just give it a go?
Definitely. Just apply online, get in there. Even if you swim only 10, 15 or 20 lengths, it's besides the point. You're participating and you're raising money for charity. So you don't need to swim the 200, the 100 lengths. You can join a team. You can do it individually. Just participate, because we all know that swimming is really, really good for you. I just simply say a big thank you to the Royal Marsden at Chelsea, a big thank you to Princess Alice Hospice, and to encourage everyone that whatever they can do, either by participating or by actually sponsoring, get involved in this year's swimathon, because we all need to support these two very important charities.